So I promise we won't sing every verse the way our Protestant brothers and sisters sing, but I think we're getting, we're trying to figure out the new iPod. So bear with us, right? So it's kind of, Brother Anthony will be back in 2 weeks, I think he's away for a little while, and then we'll have some music. But if we have a musician, absolutely, that would. So prayer is answered, anyways, I was thinking today, is many places this feast now is transferred to the Sunday closest to it. But I was thinking for us here at St. Francis, it gives us maybe a reason to come together again. I think that we do come from many different places. When I was in the seminary, there was this wonderful text that flowed from Vatican, the Reforms of Vatican Council II by Cardinal Avery Dulles. And it was called Theological Models of the Church. And in that text, he suggested that maybe, especially in America, that maybe we should look at church in a different way than we have been looking at it for maybe since the Middle Ages. And he suggested 7 models for the church. One of those was how St. Francis began, in a house. And it was a Domus Ecclesia, a house church. And where small numbers of people gathered together around the altar, much the way that the early church did, right? Much the way that we would almost become like these little cells, and that we would be part of a larger parish, but we would meet in smaller, more intimate groups. And I think that maybe that wasn't our intent here at St. Francis, but it certainly has happened that way, right? And then one of the other things that I really liked about St. Francis is that we seem to be a parish without walls. So that people come to us when they can, people who maybe in other places would like to celebrate the important traditions of our faith, but for some reason they think that they're not allowed, or they are told that they're not allowed, and then they come to St. Francis and they find us a welcoming place. Sometimes we may not see them again, right? Sometimes we see them periodically, but what I do think is when they leave us, they are touched by having met us, right? And so they are forever changed by leaving. I remember there's a couple, a friend of Brother Anthony's, who was being married here. And as this couple was leaving, they said, "We're from here, but we live in Florida now. But we're Episcopalian, but if we lived here, we would come to this church." And I thought, there you go. There's something, right? There's something that speaks about us being here because of you, whoever shows up, right? Christ tells us that wherever 2 or 3 are gathered, there I am in their midst. And I think that is so true, that Christ is in our midst. He says that to us, "I will be with you until the end of the ages." He told us last week he wouldn't leave us orphans. And he says again, right? He says again, I'm not very far from you. And so I think that this Feast of the Ascension is something that we come to celebrate because each one of us here has had an encounter with God that has brought us here. That has an encounter with Christ or the love of God that has lingered with us, that has stayed with us, and that we come here and maybe we find that we find it nourished again, or we find that it's a little bit of a shot in the arm for us, right? And so the disciples, I think, if it's true that the apostles did celebrate this as a feast after Christ rose from the dead, it is probably because in this feast they remembered this encounter. This direct encounter that they had with God. They remembered this direct encounter that they had with Jesus who walked amongst them. And so on this feast, when we celebrate it as a feast, the apostles probably maybe had it as a memorial, right? Remember the day, 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, after he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, right? Remember when he walked amongst us and spoke amongst us and we could reach out and touch him, right? And he was in our midst and he ate and drank with us and laughed with us and cried with us. All of those things. And I think that in this feast, we get to remember that for ourselves. Remember that moment in your life when you encountered God. Remember that moment in your life when you knew without question and that no one could tell you any different that God had you had an encounter with God. It may have been in didn't have to be in a church. It may have been in the midst of an experience with someone that you love deeply. It may have been after the grace of a sacrament. But we all come here and remember, right, that there was a time and we try to recall it each and every time we come to Mass to celebrate this Eucharist. we try to remember. We try to remember that moment in which we felt somehow called back into existence by this love of God, no matter what that was for us. Sometimes it may have come after a period of trial and travail, right? It may have come in the midst of great joy. It may have come, who knows, right, in the encounter with someone who so touched our life that when they left us, we know that God was dwelling in their words, which is the logos, right, the prologos, the word of God, the verbal caro factum, that the word of God becomes incarnate in how we speak it to each other in many, many ways. And so I was thinking that tonight that many of us, this is what happens, is we maybe have our agonies in the garden, that there is times in which we have to move through these painful moments in our life. And then there is things that we have to be crucified to, very much the way that Jesus was, right? And then we have our resurrection morning. We have this experience that maybe this has been lifted and that God really is risen for us and that we celebrate that. But in order for us to receive something new, in order for us to receive a new spirit, which we receive at Pentecost, we have to let all of that old stuff ascend. We have to let it rise from us. We have to let it go. God can't give us something new if we're still holding on to the old. And so I think that in this ascension that Christ goes to the Father and he says to them, I'm sending one who is more powerful than I, who will stay with you until I come again. And it is the Spirit. It is the same Spirit of God which hovered over the waters at the beginning of creation and called order out of chaos and gave fruit to people who were barren, right? And who invites us into this experience of letting go of all of those things so that God can give us a new spirit, so that this descent of the Holy Spirit can come on us anew and fresh again. And so this ascension, Jesus says to Mary Magdalene in the Gospel of Matthew, when she discovers that she thinks that the angel is, she thinks that Jesus is this angel, and Jesus says to her, no longer, don't cling to me, don't hold on to me. And I think in many ways, that's what Jesus is saying to his disciples and his apostles today. Don't cling to me. I'm ascending to the Father, and where I go, I want you with me. We hear that. We heard that last week in the Gospel of John, that Jesus, God's love for us is so tremendous that wherever he is, he wants us with him. And so he says, don't hold on to me. I need to go to prepare a place for you. And that's where Jesus goes. So this feast generally concludes for us the Paschal tide, the Easter season. In the old liturgy, we would extinguish the Paschal candle today. We don't today. We leave it burning all the way through till Pentecost. And so what we know is that Jesus is assumed his humanity into heaven and is now hidden there. And when he comes again, we'll see him as he truly is, when every tear will be wiped away. And in the meantime, it's our job here, right, to move in real ways to demonstrate this love of God that we remember, that we come here to recall, that we somehow can have that experience again, that God can quicken in us that love that we first felt, no matter where that was or how that happened to us. And so I was thinking that, that as we gather together on this Feast of the Ascension, what we also remember is all of those who loved us and who are no longer here with us and who are enjoy the beatific vision, right? And so on this Feast of the Ascension, it's a time for us to remember that Christ has called all of those into his loving embrace, and because they have always loved us and we love them, they become for us powerful intercessors at the throne of God for us. And so this Feast of the Ascension really does call all of these, I think, all of the, it's a culminating, I think, of the Easter mysteries, right? And for us, it invites us into a living memory of God's love for us in our lives, right? And allows us to let go of all of those things that maybe have been troubling us so that God can give us a new spirit. When I was in the friary, there was one of our friars who was not very old, but he was somewhat ill. He had an early onset of Alzheimer's, Father Alex, and he was a brilliant man. He was an ecumenical scholar, and he was what we call bi-ritual. And that meant he had privileges to say the Mass in the Latin Rite as well as in the Eastern Rites. And he knew several languages. He was a polylinguist. And I remember when I was first going there to think about joining the order, he said to me very cautiously, he said, I, we should be careful to all the people who come to us because one day they may be our superiors. So he had some enlightened self-interest. And I thought to myself, and then he spoke to me a little bit longer about his life. And I was thinking that even in the midst of Father Alex's kind of dimming memory or the accuracy of his memory and his cognitions, what really he spoke to me about was God's love. And that didn't go anywhere, right? That stayed with him. That stayed with him to the end. And I think all of the feasts of the church, when it comes to these celebrations, remind us that in the end, what really matters is that God loves us. And that's the message, right? That God says to us in the gospel, go and teach everyone to do what I have commanded you to do. And the only commandment he ever gave us was to love each other. So let's continue in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.